Yeah. 你学会爱来念子前来在面念子前买了三夜之念在外对说那么
Oh.
же тазо ни горой белой мелой делой жуна один дзембе коне дзезонде шо Gire donda gyajo jebang dong, minje nebe gyendang jebang dong, tenpa juje pingsong sojo, chaje tenjang tenjele jo, saje beje junje mendo chang, rira ninje
Yeah, please come. There are 3-4 seats in the front. Good morning to everyone.
Ani de ngaranzo da de chik tande tuila ngaranzo ngoyo su da chik nipo la ang zomde ni ang taga na shing ki da chik ang internet ni ani chik gyu ni ani chik gashu da chik nyen de ni oda ngaranzo sangmo lo da chik Lama chigi loma dang, gigin chigi gito res, dago.
What I would like to say first is this, that all of us who have gathered here under the roof of TDL Monastery and others who are listening to the teachings through internet, now we all have been very fortunate to be the disciples or the students of the same spiritual guru or the teacher. So from spirituality point of view, what that really means is that our connections with each other is very spiritual, so we are spiritual, you know, friends or spiritual brothers and sisters. Of course, this kind of connection we have with each other is primarily due to the kindness of our root or principal spiritual guru, very venerable late Geshe-la or Geshe Tsulim Gyaltsen, who has been kind to us in three what called different ways, and in the footnote that makes him once a root spiritual guru. And because of Geshe-la's kindness, you know, we also have this opportunity to be able to come together and participate in the teaching. And Geshe-la has guided us over many years, and he provided us the guidance, you know, with regard to how we should conduct our life here and now, or in this life, and how, you know, we should conduct our life in order to fulfill the betterment of our future lives. So Geshe-la has been kind not just for us in this lifetime, but for many lives to come. So I would like all of us to remember his tremendous kindness to all of us.
What interesting thing around so to that Sanji and it's a Kung Manchitin Yan, Chick Terry Nanganzo that Jayaga and it's a Naranzo with Leg Kitchen and J2 Yamaris, J2 Gumaza, Sanji Kung Sinity, and Payati, Dujing all the Pepu Yoris, just on Dujing Mula Yan, Chick Led a Girl Manor, Mus Chiati, Chungu Yamaris, the Jason Sanji Geta, Mus Chuman Dogan Sanji Geta, Guguzo. 아니 지금 송도 송도 투구 투소 와 근데 전에 아니 배 지금 타는 배 아니 지금 나올라 안 배인 거 열었어.
If a Buddha or enlightened being were to manifest in front of us in his or her real nature and a form, we would not be able to. Relate or see such a Buddha because of our own karmic impediments and lack of fortunes to have a direct access to a Buddha in a real Buddha form. And of course, Buddhas always care about sentient beings and they want to, guide us and benefit us in the best ways. And so what they realized they could do is they could come in the form of ordinary, persons, ordinary teachers, and so that we are able to, have direct access to ordinary teachers, and so through that they could benefit us. And so it is in that sense we regard spiritual gurus, or we call lamas, as true representatives of Buddha's enlightened body, enlightened speech, and enlightened mind, because Buddha couldn't benefit us directly, so they could only do through the what called the medium of ordinary forms of gurus.
What the tamembe and then nangwajin and penyon dan teyang and it's le dang kyo yu and it's du che chuk ngol pigu yorma do chigi.
So when I said that a Buddha could appear in the form of an ordinary person or a teacher to benefit us, again, I don't mean that every ordinary person, would be equally benefited by such a manifestation. Because again, there has to have that karmic connection and the fortunes, as we say. So only those who have, the karmic connection and the fortunes, so then they are able to see such ordinary manifestations of Buddhas and, could be benefited by them, but not every, ordinary person from A to Z. When a Buddha decides to manifest in an ordinary form to benefit those beings who have karmic connection and fortunes to have access to such a person, of course they don't come right from the beginning in a very perfect form, that everything from the gecko works perfectly in their life. They don't come in that kind of a what
called
style or
a form. What 타메 말한서 나올이야 이제 꿀에 큰데 식견다 폐용도 또서 토산시원 또서 백광로 구인데 토나가 안서 나올 폐행결에서 따도서 따고 던서 갈된 거라서는 당본이네 배 따고는 좀 많이 봐 간다 당본이네 배게를 소소다 가일라 이거 타메 번 능신제 깔에 잡도 폐행결에서
So as we remember very venerable Geshe Tsulim Gyaltsen and try to recollect the qualities of his body, speech and mind, and of course some of us have been with him for many, many years and others have less, but the students who have been with him from the first day when Geshe-la came to the United States of America, and since the time you met that day connection and until Geshe-la decided to pass into Parinirvana, so you had access to a number of his qualities. I just, for example, focus on his physical qualities. With what kind of a determination Geshe-la faced all kinds of physical difficulties and challenges, And, when he first came here, what kind of struggles he had to go through and what kind of struggles you had to go through with him to be able to establish right himself in the United States, and so you would know that it was not an easy thing. Now, he did not come with all the perfect causes and conditions and everything, from the day one, everything is like perfect, had to go through so many struggles, ups and downs in life, and through physical difficulties and challenges to be able to, create the situations that he could benefit all of us. So what that also tells us is from Buddhist what called reality perspective is that Geshe-la, for example, is not a permanent, independent, and self-arisen entity. Okay? So he, came in an ordinary form just like all of us. He went through the process of what called change and, transformation. And so he didn't, come as if, out of a blue, which is called self-arisen. So as a permanent entity. So you had access to all his, initial challenges and over the years, what kind of difficulties he really went through to create the situations to be able to benefit us. So the point I'm trying to make through is, okay, maybe in the footnote I should kind of clarify it, why we are talking and remembering Geshe-la, because many of it is his birthday today. Yeah. So, so that's what is very salient in our mind, and so we would like to remember his kindnesses. So when he appeared in the form of an ordinary being, so he had to go through all the ordinary ups and downs and trials and tribulations, and that's what we could see from our common perspective. Okay? And he did not come with his what we call exalted wisdom, celestial mansion, or the mandala. He said, oh, here is everything is fine and perfect in my world, so you don't need to worry about. Well, he had to go through all these times to find a location, to find a center, to buy a property, all of these things, because it's all worked well from our perspective. That's how the ordinary life goes through. Nobody comes with a, perfect mandala, on the earth. No. So then if I may speak a little bit about his speech qualities, over many, many years, Geshe-la gave all kinds of teachings, taking into account what would be most beneficial to most of the people and individuals. And so Geshe-la dedicated all his life to give us the guidance, which basically relate to what are the things we should not do, we should abandon, and what are the things we should cultivate, we should adopt, we should follow. And so he really let us on the right path and in the right direction. He, in other words, did not mislead us. He gave us the right, shown us the right way, And over the many years' time, he gives simple teachings, he gives intermediate level teachings, he gives advanced level teachings, you know. So his teachings really constitute very vast and profound aspects of Buddha Dharma. And of course, you have all been witness to, Geshe-la being one of the most excellent teachers that one could have. Again, that did not happen, out of blue, right? And he had to go through, or at least he showed for the ordinary perception, he entered into monastery, he went through years and years of monastic educations and trainings, and finally he completed his teaching successfully, and he earned his the top Geshe-la Harangpa, degree. And that really qualified him, right? That shows that, we need to educate ourselves, educate ourselves about the spiritual practices and so on. And Geshe-la himself did that. He went through all the great efforts and trials and tribulations of years to do the monastic education training. He completed it, and that qualified him to be a teacher. Yeah. And so all of these things we want to remember. So how much Geshe-la went through his life, for our benefit and from our common, perspective. And so therefore, of all his activities, his speech activity, as we say, call it, is the most beneficial and important activity. As many of already know that Geshe-la started his monastic education back in Tibet. He went to the original Kanden Monastic University in Tibet, and Geshe-la often even told me that really it was very difficult when he was going through the studies, that they had very simple what called food. And so what mostly they had, whether it's a breakfast or a lunch or the dinner, was just some black tea and roasted barley flour called samba. Yeah. But still, Geshe-la, remember, he said, I still was a better among my other friends, because some of my friends even struggled with the samba. Maybe they had enough for the breakfast or the lunch, but forgot about the dinner. Okay. And so that's how, for many years, he pursued his education and trainings. And he said some of his friends, when they had little break from their studies, maybe it was around harvest time or something, then they would go to the village or the town to help the lay people, help harvest their crops, and then they would get, paid in return, so to speak, some, barley, grains or whatever. So then they would go and make samba out of that, and that's how, that was their sustenance, for their monastic education and training. So as we can see, they went through so much, it was not how to say, a luxurious life, materially speaking, going through all that trainings.
You know.
So that was some kind of the material condition, really poor condition under which they were living and studying. But even then, Geshe-la said, he always had this, joy in his heart and mind when he attended the prayer ceremonies, we call the talk, a lot of chantings, and or when we would go to the debate, sessions and debate about all different aspects of the Dharma. He said he really didn't care about not having enough samba or, whatever other things to eat. But we were really happy to be able to do what he really wanted to do. He often felt that, he couldn't have been at any better, educational institution to spend his life and to get the kind of education that he got. So he himself felt very, very fortunate to be at Ganden Monastery, studying Dharma, even under the poor material conditions. And I remember Geshe-la telling me that, he was so into his study and training that there was so much joy that he wouldn't really realize, how the time passed so, easily. The days gone by so fast and the weeks and the months, and he didn't realize how the time went so fast. So that really shows us his dedication and devotion to the studies and practices. Otherwise, we know, right? If we are not so much into what we are doing, even the day is too long. It's just like this day never ends. That's kind of the feeling. It just bogs you down and the life is miserable and day is too long. But he really did not share that kind of experience. He had totally different kind of experience. And of course, we can't really talk about the qualities of Buddha, Geshe-la's mind. Yeah, so that's beyond beyond our level. And of course, he had tremendous, inner qualities. But we cannot judge. I, especially as an individual person, cannot say, okay, Geshe-la had these inner realizations, as if I can tabulate his realizations on the paths and grounds and tell you exactly. That would be completely wrong and unbecoming on my part. Now, if you may recall the other day, that was some time ago, I remember, that as we were talking about, related matters, I said, those who are on the lower levels of realizations cannot judge the realizations of those on the higher levels. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. I cannot, or somebody in my situation cannot say exactly what kind of realizations Geshe-la had. But the proper mental approach for us to adopt and look at Geshe-la's if somebody like Geshe-la, I mean, his qualities were equal to an enlightened qualities or the qualities of a Buddha. Okay, so that we could say. But, you know, from our own common perspective, and many of you have been long-time students of Geshe-la, I mean, you also felt a sense of his compassion and his love and his wisdom, you know, to a certain level, and because we have access to them. So we could, I mean, use those as resources to appreciate Geshe-la's inner qualities. But one thing for sure, I think, that we could say is Geshe-la never said one bad word about anybody, any other person in his life. Okay, so that, I mean, I could say for sure. Yeah. So, of course, as I said, in terms of the qualities of Geshe-la's mind, I mean, we cannot make any judgment or pass any different statements on this. So what I just said earlier is that we cannot be very exacting, you know, about what kind of inner qualities Geshe-la had. But that being said, of course, there are ways in some way to kind of find about, you know, certain inner qualities of somebody like Geshe-la or, you know, other realized beings. Because in the authentic Buddhist treatises, you know, we do talk about the use of rational or valid reasonings, you know, that based upon those and the investigation analysis, we may be able to get an estimate or sense of maybe on what kind of level, you know, somebody may be. For example, in the Buddhist literature, you know, we talk about a level called Chimedokba, which literally means non-returning, you know, somebody who's not going to kind of turn about and go home, so to speak. Okay, not that's the sense. So what this level constitutes is somebody on this level called Chirimidokba, irreversible liti, in other words, is that really is going to go for sure all the way to the complete enlightened state. It's not going to change the mind, change of the heart, or whatever, and, you know, that. And so in the Buddhist literatures, you know, certain descriptions are given, certain indicative signs are given. So people who have spent with someone, a teacher or an individual, for years and years, right, who have access to this individual from a common perspective, and then look at this, what is talked about in the Buddhist literature, and then you kind of a match, you know, whether this person has these matching qualities that we talk about in the, you know, so if you spend so many years and, you know, very interpersonally connected to the person, you may be able to say, I think this person probably is on this level. Okay. But of course, somebody who spent like, you know, a few weeks or a few months or a couple of years, okay, that doesn't apply. You know, how, I mean, you can't make judgment based upon a limited number of, you know, years experience with a person.
What interesting thing that Geshe-la Nyingpo-la, Nyingpo-la,
But what I do observe is that, you know, among us, those who have been very long time, you know, students of Geshe-la for many, many years, I mean, you have certain access and feelings about Geshe-la that your devotion, faith, and dedication to Geshe-la is what's called unshakable. Okay? So that, I, you know, think is based upon what you really witnessed in the person of Geshe-la, spending time with for many, many years. And so that also gives a certain feeling, indication about Geshe-la's inner qualities. And then those of us, who came much later time, or now, we just, kind of came newly into this kind of teachings. Again, all of us are very fortunate to have this kind of opportunity to participate in teaching only because of Geshe-la's, kindness. So the reason why I spent a little bit of time today to talk a little bit about Geshe-la and trying to remember his kindnesses is because I have been told today is Geshe-la's birthday if we go by the usual calendar. Of course, I just talked a little bit about, Geshe-la, so that, this also creates a situation for all of us to be able to reflect on the kindnesses of Geshe-la. Of course, conventionally speaking, that Geshe-la is no more physically with us. He what called performed the deed of passing into parinirvana or solitary peace. But that being said, we can't really judge his inner mental qualities. His mind, I feel, is always really watching us and observing us, wherever he is right now. And I also want to take this opportunity to appreciate how many of you were able to come with us to Palm Springs yesterday. We went to the mountaintop, and very high elevated place, and very clean and very kind of a private, a secluded location where we were able to do some prayers and disperse holy ashes of Geshe-la from the mountaintop. So those of us who were able to go there, so what we did was we recited a Heart Sutra, which is called Pranjana Paramita Hridayam Sutra in Sanskrit, which is essentializes the themes of wisdom gone beyond. A sutra called Pranjana Paramita Sutra. So the subject matter of the Heart Sutra is, of course, it explicitly talks about what emptiness is or what shunyata is. So we recited that, and then we also recited this very powerful, very concise prayer to Manjushri, and requesting Manjushri's blessings so that when Geshe-la's reincarnation come back soon, that he will come back very bright, reincarnate. And remember, I said super duper intelligent incarnate at the time. the translator said it actually. And so we did that. We recited a lot of the Manjushri mantras and dedicated the merit, you know, towards that end. And then also we recited Geshe-la's quick return prayer, right, three times in Tibetan English and Vietnamese. So with our fervent prayers that we may be able to see his reincarnate, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So I think everything really went, you know, superbly well with, you know, Geshe-la's, you know. I mean, you all made a lot of efforts, you know, and so finally we were able to, you know, bring Geshe-la's holy body home to his monastery in South India. We had an exceptional, you know, funeral ceremony there. And then, I mean, since Geshe-la, I mean, has left for Parinirvana, that I think all of us have been doing whatever best things we could do, and we have, you know, maintained the activities of the center, and I think everything, I believe everything has been going really, very smoothly, you know, in this what called transition period, footnote by the translator, because Geshe-la is going to come back, so that's why I call it transition period,
okay?
So I also appreciate all the efforts, you know, that the board members of Thubten Dajie Ling, the staff of Thubten Dajie Ling put into this, and all the support they received from all of us and all of the students. And I think because of our concerted efforts, I think things have been going really well. And in particular, I would like to mention, you know, Changchub Techen, who you have invited here, you know, a couple of times when Geshe-la was not feeling well, and after Geshe-la passed in Parinirvana, because he's the guy, now I can say he's the guy, he's not a monk, okay, so. he's the guy, I mean, who had a lot of experiences in the matters related to these things, and so we were able to really, the benefit of his, you know, knowledge and experiences to take care of everything that we needed to take care of. And again, you invited him, and he, I mean, spent many days doing the inventory of all the things, you know, in this monastery. And so we are very, I mean, thankful to Changchub Techen. And by the way, in the footnote, he's flying pretty soon back to up north where he's living.
Okay. And Loma was laying it away, and it Loma Tama got that subsion to give Mono Chick to TV Tony and Mono Yubola Gavius, and if you get Chick Manzota, Chick Malin Yazo in a Jelang as a forget to have with that who your is Mono Gia Yoris to the young as a Shiro Yamadayan, Tavanish Mono Gia to the Capsules.
And I also want to say that, you know, those of you who couldn't make, you know, yesterday to the Palm Spring Mountain Top, I mean, we really thought about you, and we knew you were mentally thinking about what's happening there. So we kind of, you know, when we did the dedication prayers and everything, we remember you, and we put your thoughts and prayers together in ours, and did the dedication, because that is, I mean, the power we have, you know, energy together, collective power. And I believe maybe in later time we might again have another opportunity, I don't know, you know, to go to the mountaintop and do prayers. So whatever case may be, so if, you know, I think the sense here is, Geshe-la, you don't have to feel bad for not being able to come there, because we remember you and we know you were thinking about what's happening there. So on your behalf, we also did the prayers. We knew you were doing the prayers for yourself, and so I think so it all worked well. You know, there were a lot of students. You know, footnote. I don't know. I didn't count anybody, but I'm guessing about 50 or more. You know, students there. Oh, one thing I forgot to say. You know, we had two really, you know, super duper seniors. It would be three. You know, who really made all the way to the mountaintop, right? They were really such inspiring individuals, did not, you know, back down. So they were irreversible in that sense, you know. They just led us all to the mountaintop. And so we're really grateful to them. That's what Geshe-la said. I forgot in the middle of that. Very important thing. And so really Geshe-la thought, you know, everything went so well. And he personally really liked that mountaintop, the view and the location, everything. So probably, you know, if everybody asks now the question, where would you like to go? He'll say, Palm Spring Mountaintop, you know, and then you can take him there and do prayers, okay?
Yeah.
So I also believe that it is, the intention of very venerable Geshe Trungpa Gyaltsen, our precious guru, who wanted the teachings to continue at this center. You know, everything should be just the way it was when he was here. So we have been doing our best in the meantime, you know, to carry on the, if you will, the teaching traditions here, and I believe it will continue in the future too, because that has to be, you know, that is the, I think, the intention of Geshe Gyaltsen, you know. So I personally believe that when we look into the future, I think we will just, you know, continue to be doing as well as we have been doing now. And I don't have any qualms about or doubt about, you know, this about the future of TTL. I think the great teachings will continue here at TTL. And of course, Geshe-la has given years and years of teachings, and I think within that, I think at many points, you know, he really gave what we call, you know, highlighted those important essential points, you know, and those are the things, you know, we should try to remember and integrate into our, you know, daily practice. So with that, I would like to continue my teaching where we left off last week. Remember, I started off saying that it's not enough for us just to cultivate the altruistic mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta, citta, or simply wishing to become a Buddha for the benefit of others is not enough. Yeah. We need to engage in what is called bodhisattva actions or activities or the deeds. And so the bodhisattva activities or the deeds consist of many things, and of course we try to frame them within what is called six paramitas or the six perfections. So within the six paramitas of the perfections, you know, last week we were talking about the perfection of patience or tolerance called shanti paramita.
What in the sons of that is to be a passing lea, and you were sung an ane, and you were tumble, and a shenya, and a noah, and she, Michibe, and a jig, subatteris.
I laid out that there are three broad categories of patience, and the first one is the patience of not retaliating against those who harm us.
Mm-hmm. 땡 아때 안에 그게 제 금생당 저서 즉 팬도 저 300톤에 땡고 그랬어.
So how do we cultivate this kind of patience, as I indicated the other day as well, that we really need to find the reasons why, you know, cultivating this kind of patience is very important. In other words, not retaliating against those who harm us. You know, what are the benefits of, you know, being patient like that? And what are the good reasons, you know, that we could use to develop our understanding and confidence in this kind of
patience.
So this patience, as it is indicative of its name, that when someone is giving us a hard time or harming us, this is when we need to, right, cultivate this patience, right? If somebody is not harming us, if people are being nice and friendly to us, I mean, we can't do this practice, right? So this is just putting in a difficult situation and somebody is not happy with us, you know. So how do we approach that person or deal with the situation? So I think we did talk about, you know, what if we don't care about patience, you know, and so one of the things we talked about is if we lose our patience, so what we really experience is the anger, right, upset state of mind. And that is not a, you know, really happy state of mind, as you can see. And anger can soon lead to hatred, okay, malicious thought or intention, and then we really want to harm others. Yes, so we know that when we are angry, I mean, how much damage or harm it is bringing to ourselves. You know, we're angry with someone, but how much peace of the mind it has deprived us of, and how much, you know, it's harming us or damaging us. So we want to think about that, and we say, okay, I don't want to put myself in such a destructive state of mind, an unhappy and cranky state of mind. You know, I just want peace of mind. I want to be happy, you know. So which means don't get mad, you know. And how do we not get mad? Try to learn about patience.
What did you say? That's so amazing, you know.
So getting angry is no good at all. It has no any benefit, as I would say. Not only that, our own peace of mind is, you know, taken away, and so we are really feeling cranky and, you know, yucky and all that. But now, out of that state of mind, if we harm someone, now we make somebody so unhappy and angry. Of course, now don't expect other person to be patient, because we are not patient in the first place, right? So that person is going to get mad and do the thing, whatever he wants to do, and then it will really, you know, what accentuate the whole situation, and now everything is getting out of control, right? Our anger adds to his anger, and his action, negative action adds to our anger. Everything is, you know, getting more complex and becoming accentuated. And so that's how we disturb everybody's peace of mind, and it's not resolving anything, you
know. 김자 디나리아 아니 시디 영야 두게스다 자산 고게 아니 공주 떠보다 시엔라드 이렇게 했는데 신게 아니 시디메오다 수고여레스 제 칼라다 동야 아니 제게 좀 봐 저 공주 뭐 가서 때에는 다디 공주 쪽에서는 되게 강로는 처음에 시고여레스 다 데레스
Well, I mean, we all have a lot of experiences in this regard, and so we can fall back on our own experiences and see, you know, is it good to get mad or angry, you know? I mean, think about our own family situation. Maybe our family consists of just two individuals, or it consists of three, or whatever the case may be. If one of us gets really mad and upset, you know, how much that disturbs the other people, you know, in the family. Yeah? And so when we're really mad, and even if somebody says, oh, you know what, let me treat you. Okay, that doesn't work. You know, you can give us a nice, delicious food. The food has no taste because we are still angry and mad. Okay, so I mean, in that sense, you know, all, I mean, in some sense, we're speaking very ordinarily about this, but this is the kind of experience we have. So this also tells us that anger does not bring anything good to us.
That's the what thing this about ten down the contenting or ten gugura senus. Pigil Ranlia and Niching Indela, Ranla Nara and New Guess and Singigi, Ranla and Randa Martinic Judge Goddess. Nan new game Mary Natandayan, new gang is to Parmegis and Jigia, social to new gang Yoris, what in Davida, and Nijitelia and Chick and Nene Machia, Sobopongo Yoris, Sobopon Dante Tashine. Pegi rana nyingi ge ane simji tela ta taje chene ane kuran liya ane rawan yue shindo ane galiya ane nyo kia wala ta rawan me shindo ane nyo kia to te taje chere stos.
So remember the other day, you know, we talked about you know, some sources of what we call anger, right? We think about like, you know, this person really harmed me. That's already in the past. So now we get mad, right? Oh, this person is still harming me, right? That makes us mad. Or this person is going to harm me. Or this person harmed my friend, is harming my friend, will harm my friend. So we go in all this kind of a thinking, and then we get mad because, you know, who wants to get harmed? Yeah. And so the, you know, so if anger is so destructive and it brings us so much unhappiness, so can we do anything with it? Of course, our whole point, the thesis and the claim is yes, we can. So that means cultivate patience, right? We can prevent the anger from arising, or we can counteract the anger. Now that's easy thing to say, but you know, it involves a lot of things. How do we cultivate patience? Okay, what is involved in the process of this? And one of the things is when someone really harms us, right? Here's a harmful situation. A challenge has been given to us. Now we really want to examine if we can, not kind of act on an automatic system or something. Just kind of, you know, pause and think about, is this person saying the thing, whatever he's saying, or doing the thing he's doing, you know, out of what are called freedom and control of everything, or under the influence of something else, the person is saying something to me or doing the bad thing to me, right? So we want to kind of spotlight the person and under what condition or situation this person is harming me.
Okay.
So we pause and think about the situation. You see, under what conditions is this person harming me? Out of, you know, total control of his life, or is under the influence of something else. Okay. And So we try to examine the situation here. And let me give you some examples here. Well, for example, say one of your family members or best friends or whatever the case may be, who is given to drinking too much, or whatever, not the water, But so is so drunk and lose all control and saying all kinds of the nastiest things to you or doing harming you. If you are in that situation, are you going to get mad with your friend and say, forget you, whatever? Or you will try to understand the person. You say, usually my friend, when he doesn't drink, he's just fine, human being. Well, this is too bad. He's under the influence of this alcohol stuff, whatever stuff he's taking, right? Steroids or whatever, just kidding. Anyway, so you just said, okay, I'm not going to be mad with him because he's under the influence of something else. He's not himself. That's what we say, right? So that's the reason you use not to get mad with your friend. Okay? Or in some situations we say that, some negative or evil spirit could influence somebody, human being, right? Enter into somebody's body. Okay? So if somebody is under the influence of an evil spirit and then is doing all kinds of nasty things to somebody else, then you reason out, this person has no control over himself or herself. Is under the influence of negativity and some evil spirit. So you don't get mad easily with this person at least, right? You try to understand it. This is how we reason it out, right? Where you don't get mad with your drunken friend or the evil spirit embedded person. There's a new word there. See? I made it up all. So in the same way, when somebody gets mad with us, we say, okay, under what kind of a situation influence is this person acting here?
Okay.
So when we are in situations where I said our best friend or family member is under the influence of alcohol, is saying the nastiest things, don't remember your kindness and doing the bad thing to you, you still forget about getting mad with this person, but you still show care and concern, their sense of love and compassion, isn't it? And that's what we see in our society. We have so many people, really, they make efforts to take care of these people, who are alcoholics or, whatever their problem is. They don't say, we are mad with you, You deal with yourself. Yeah. So instead of getting mad with these individuals and people, we try to find ways to really help them out of our concern, which comes out of compassion and love, and things like that.
What the petition do?
So in that kind of situations, we reason it all out that this person is under the influence of the alcohol, otherwise he's a good guy or a good girl, whatever the case may be. And so we said, okay, I'm not going to be mad with you, but I want to find if there are any resources helpful to help this person. Okay? And that all makes sense, and that's what we do. Okay? Now, from spirituality point of view, when somebody gets mad with us or do the bad things to us, we say, this person is under the influence of his or her deluded states of mind. The three poisons, okay, if you will. Ignorance, attachment, anger, then you multiply everything, right, in the footnote. So now you can see, so what is really making this person to say the thing he is saying or do the thing he is doing is not out of his own free will and total control of himself, but under the directorship of, the three poisons. The three poisons are the great directors inside him, and it's just, making him direct everything, right? So if that's under the influence, then we know the person is not in charge, right? He has no freedom. He has no control. Because he's under the control of all this, delusions thing. So we said, okay, I understand it. I'm not going to get mad with him because it's not out of free will that he's being nasty to me, because he's under the control of, those directors.
What did they make you some damn bad?
So when we think in that way, you know, that could also, instead of, you know, retaliating against the person, we might even develop some care and concern for the person. You know, we might experience some sense of compassion in our mind, right? Of course, our compassion is not going to stop this person right away from being nasty or whatever the case may be. Yeah? But what our compassion does is, it also retains our peace of mind. Okay, we are still cool. We are calm, right? We are happy. See that? And so, of course, we are not saying that by being this time, the other person's delusions will be gone forever. Like, you know, no, that person has to deal with himself. But at least we do not add to the, you know, fire. Anyway, we don't, you know, fuel the fire. And so this is what we are trying to do.
Yes. So what comes to the compare, someone done can sit in the way, can just someone done a congo yoris, and Tavanation so what come down that Sevagi, does a tendon, does a das, so sugi, Lola Pabbe and Law, Loki Chichung one and someone done, Kashachi, the jelly showings, that is the Tavarius.
So that's what we meant by cultivating patience or meditating on patience. You know, we have to use our mind and intelligence, reason it all out, you know, think about all matters concerned, and then try to, how you say, prevent anger from arising in our mind, or stay in the cool state of mind. Of course, there are other ways to cultivate patience, you know, because what we really need to consider is one's own individual capacities and what and how much can I think about and all of those things. So some different ways of cultivating patience are presented in Buddhism. Of course, I'm looking at the clock on the wall, so we need to stop there today, and we will talk about those next time. So we have to let you ask questions, you know, questions here. And I know last time I missed someone, so I need to spotlight on her, Lynn. You know what, I have the advantage, I'm kind of facing you, sometimes I'm facing you, so I miss the people on this side, you know, my vision goes there. So everybody get advantage, like, oh, here. So now I can't, I have no excuse.
You like caught me off guard.
Yeah.
I think that the last question was from a non-Buddhist perspective, of doing merits and dedicating merits and virtues, and how it's so important in the Buddhist literature to practice that whole circle. But from a non-perspective approach, like how do people who are non-Buddhist who do not have access to this path, when they perform good deeds, how are those good deeds?
Good precepts, right. Okay, the first question is about what we were talking about last week, and Gisela was talking about the importance of dedicating our merit, right? And of course, the example we gave is if we dedicate our merit, you know, to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings, our merit will not be destroyed by anger later on, so it will be preserved, okay? And so that was our claim and the thesis. And so now the question being asked is, you know, she's looking at this from a non-Buddhist perspective, right? Because we don't expect everybody to dedicate the merit to become a Buddha, because that would be too much, I think. And so what can they do? Because we also know the non-Buddhists do a lot of good karmas and good things, you know. So how can they preserve their merit, or what can they do with that? That's the question. I know internet people are listening. And great to meet somebody yesterday at the Palm Springs. Sorry, I'm getting detoured. So Josh, thank you. It was nice meeting you last yesterday. All right. Okay, this is Tiwati. Tunang ema delia ani kaso kore ani kewa che sa zan kewa de ngo kore shuna zobe changju lu ngo kore di chebe ina ani khongru lang be ina kewa de chungu ma de chebe ruwa ta de de yibe ina ta nangba main be ji ge to ne de be ina ruwa khonzo kewa ma bu chi go ruwa ta khonzo kewa de ta ma jom be tabshi ka ru yo re sam dang da ka ru re
dang a rang zo ji le cha wa kan che si ni che ma che sa de Tomara Gulung Ralevres Gulung Ralevanza, Langjo Mene Chashina, Gulungi, Totchimbo, Gatchimbo Gayer, some Tanguyores, Gulung de Changusin, Ris Gulung de Changusin, Gunel Langi, tartugu migi de samje tamje ge tendo rang yi san ge go ban to ya de les tartugu migi de son dan tartugu migi de sha re ting ne rang yi ge ge le la kang ge cha wa de sen samje tamje ge tendo nga chanju go go ban to ya ge gyur do wa sho sen samje tamje chanju go ban to gyur do wa sho mu bu ya les yes samne ton jo ngon de top chung sho les ta sing nang ba ma yin ba dan zao ge chanju dong zo ha ma ho ni ke ma le ni do zo yi ne Samba Sambo Chuku Yores, maybe. Samba Sambo Sadi, Rangshin, you got an itchy Rangshin Lea, itchy, Pember Rangshin, Gun and Lampo Yores, Pember Rangshin, the Gun and Langa Tia, Rangil Dela Sinity, Shenle Tene Yungu Yua, Rangi Titusa, the Shenla Ralev, Teso de Joyen, but Ralek Devet on the Yungo, the Devi Jones and Mambo Samon Tane, and Gulung there, and Shenk Chotu, Gunella. Other, get what Cheshire, the Moya Tempe.
First question, I want to take a minute to kind of clarify why, you know, from Buddhist perspective, we say let's dedicate our merit or good karmas to become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. So what we really often talk about is before we do anything, whether any action or a practice, cultivating proper motivation is a key central to this. Okay. So in the Buddhist context, the best motivation, the highest level of motivation that one could cultivate is called bodhicitta motivation. Because the main interest of the Buddhist is, I would like to be able to benefit all sentient beings who have been very kind to me. So how best can I benefit them? So in that kind of framework of mind, you see, only if I could become an enlightened being, then I will have all the abilities to benefit others just the way I want. Yeah. So you see that, then you say, okay, my motivation is to become a Buddha for the benefit of all beings, so I'm going to do my practice and do the good karma, right? I mean, for that reason and towards that end. So it makes all perfect sense at the end. This is what how I started it off, and this is how I'm going to complete, right? Now I did a good thing, and I'm going to dedicate it to become a Buddha. Okay. Now we know that everybody is not interested in the Buddhahood. Okay. Everybody is not Buddhist. Okay. But all people, you know, do good karmas and good things. So your question from the non-Buddhist perspective is a very good one, where we say, okay, what I believe is, even the non-Buddhists, you know, who do the good thing, I think those good actions must be guided by some positive motivation. Okay, either they care about others, they're concerned with others, right? It has to come out of that. Okay, and so when you, you know, your motivation is that to, you remember the kindness of others, or you care about others, then whatever good things you do, you dedicate it for their well-being. So that dedication would work. It would help you to preserve the merit or the good karma, you know, don't just get destroyed by, you know, anger. Okay. And so because the way we think is like, okay, everybody has been kind to me. Now think about the interdependent nature of the things. If others don't exist, really I can't function myself, even if I exist. In the first place, I may not exist at all, right? And so therefore, I see that others are very important. If not important than me, they are equally important. So I should care about others. So that's why I care about others. I don't know anything about Buddhahood or all this other stuff, but I really care about others. I see they're important in my life. So you do a good karma or a good action, so you dedicate it for their well-being, for their betterment. Okay. Does that come off clear? Okay. Okay, maybe, is that a follow-up question you have? Go ahead.
Yes.
Sure.
So as Buddhists, can we dedicate
their good deeds
for them?
I'm going to say that the mission of the Tewa Chandra is going to
be able to do it. I'm going to say that the Tewa Chandra
Yeah. Oh yes, as a Buddhist, of course, you know, others are even more important for us, right, from Buddhist perspective. So we dedicate for their well-being. As a matter of fact, when we said, I dedicate my merit to become a Buddhahood, that sounds like very far or distant. We are really dedicating for everybody else, you know, because everybody else include that. That's the only reason we want to be Buddha, right? Not so much for one's sake, but for the benefit of others. Yes, we can certainly dedicate our merit for others. Did I see hand there? Yes, David. Yeah.
Somebody spontaneously does something really offensive, and you feel a really strong sense of spontaneous reaction and anger. And so
right.
So,
right.
A two-part question then. Is that moment or that experience, that immediate experience, spontaneous experience of anger, accumulate negative karma? And if so, what advice can Geshe-la give to sort of calm that feeling down so that one can have a constructive response in the moment when it's really in the heat of things?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't get the second part of it.
That's the second part. What kind of a constructive response?
Okay. The question that was being asked is, sometimes people spontaneously get mad with you, and we can be spontaneously reacting to them, so we both are mad. Okay, so that's the situation. So we are spontaneously mad with each other. Are we creating bad karma here? Because of the spontaneous thing, I guess, that's the idea. And the second part of the question is, later on, right, can we do anything constructive to counteract, right, that previous experience? Did I get you right?
Yeah. Is it negative karma just to spontaneously feel that, and then how can one deal with that sort of spontaneous eruption?
Okay. Kona kani shwe di shikidu kana, tabi na kangsa chi kemu shi gi kasa wata chi kala pepe sa tosang paja sosu lung langi dani yukidu kwa kyun zhe kanyin dimi hama wache lung langi se sosu ke chi tosang paja namsang the spontaneous to gen samlo mata namsang lung langi pajong wala ruwa dinde ki nika lo tosang paja lung do langi yin na dinde kongro digi and legi ba saka yur saka machi tiwa dambu daruwa ken ta saka yue wina di shu la ya ta dili ya ani kasa wata diruwa nye buten da tapshi rupu kare yore, samul tanya kare yore, ta kewe lo rupu kare chi yore su ura.
Te yore su kwa, tabhya bhoja thangwe kyanye yore su, shwa yinja thangwe kyanye nungla yinye yore su, te zo te kunung mea oma re su, anta tente yela chungye gana na tangpo ngashin dala shingye wa su, rang za chenpo zene, kondro langa yore su, kondro langa ge kymze kare jo zana, dungi ku suyu ya ma re su, su su lo te. Dungi te maso yinye rang che bar zimbe tiki, tak kya wanda tsuyo nene, dungi te maso yinye nene, Yung yores ko, or the rich and young, sick yores, Shangazo Nangjing Yamli Chenyezo, Katu in a tea call, Yak Tado, Tenshi, Tengu yores, Tenshi Satita, Mazube, the Rokuchen, Chujoko Tan, Sangu Lapsamako Lang Dog, Nemam, Tungu yores, Tonsobe Tenshi, Tengu yores, and Kesibe Lung Lambene, Jelly Yatons of Tenshi, Tembewala, Gashachi Yores, Tanya Remason Asam, Tachinjin and Tadabache Asam.
First, Geshe-la, want to recognize, yes, that kind of spontaneous anger erupts, from our side and from the side of other individuals, And it can be a very sudden eruption, In the Tibetan experience, we say somebody go into trance, then just they'll do all kind of stuff. But that looks like there was no motivation involved in it. But maybe the motivation is not that evident at the moment. But as we talked about, the 12 interdependent links, some time ago, I remember that. And so we are all grounded in basically self-grasping. Okay, that is where, self-grasping, and the good friend of self-grasping is the self-cherishing. Okay. So the two buddies are together in us all the time. So when somebody spontaneously erupts into anger, right, and why we angrily react to that person spontaneously is we don't like, somebody saying something bad to us or doing something bad to us, we don't like that, thing. Why we don't like it? Because we cherish it so much deep down. Okay, because self is so important. It's the center of universe. Okay. So because of that, so we both are spontaneously erupting into things. So by getting mad spontaneously does not excuse us from not creating bad karma. It is creating negativity, bad karma. Okay. So that happens to all of us. But from Buddhist point of view, what we said is all the teachings, we are receiving, participating in. So we learn the tools, if you will, how to deal with this before that things happen, right? So we have to cultivate mindfulness and introspection in our everyday life, right? So that we don't get caught by the moment because the mindfulness and introspection kick in. Okay, that's our goal, right? Kick in. Those things need to kick in, right? So if we are acting mindlessly and, whatever, well, then what is that really difference, in a sense? Yeah. He didn't say that, but to make the point clearer, I added that one. I'm just very nice in telling you what I'm adding here. But that being all said, okay, still we know we do get mad spontaneously at times. So, but later on, what we can do to answer the second part of your question is, you know, we can really think about the situation and we can do the purification of negativity. Remember, we could apply the four powerful antidotes, you know, one of which is generate the strong power of contrition or regret. You know, whatever the mad thing we said to this person, right, we regret about, you know, doing those things. Okay? We resolve that we'll try at least best not to do the same thing again in the future. Okay? So that's how later on we can use the, we can do the purification practice. And of course, then what is conventionally the right thing to do is we may go and say, I apologize to you, you know, whatever the thing I said the other day. You know, you were mad and I was equally mad. Okay? So we said the mad things to each other. So I'm really sorry about that. So that also goes well with the Dhamma practice as well. The Dhamma doesn't say go and apologize to other person. Okay? Does that make sense?
Okay. But what if it doesn't get to the point of actually saying anything? You just feel this huge adrenaline rush.
Right. Okay. You see, then they kind of do a lot of things. So, how do things learn to be in a? And then they like, because then you better get into your digor.
No.
How do learn to consume it? Love go be chavas game.
Really? How do learn? No. How do talk to you? Yeah. Not say you're good. Not some sati. So, no, what's your other? Chamber maji ones. No, not some day others. This seems to know, send alma, gang in with yours, send matter with you yours. Not single dog culture, she never ran the gender, you know. No, I can't.
Well, I mean, anger is a state of mind. Once you've experienced it, that is it. You know, those other things, whether you say something, do something, these are the expressions of the anger, right? And so, you know, if you get mad inside, but you're still quiet, you don't say anything, well, you have created negativity, or we have created negativity. Okay. And so then what happens is sometimes you don't let it out, right? Then, you know, your memory records it, right? Okay, this person said this to me. You know, that's, you know, kind of a nice recorder inside. So then that kind of, you know, box you down. Like, you know, I mean, that person made you mad a moment ago or something. Now you still remember after a long time. Now that person said it, kind of uncomfortable and makes it uneasy feeling you, right? So if you kind of keep this going on, then you really have the hostility feeling. You're cherishing that, you know, a bad situation. And then if you have the chance, the ability to hit back, you say, you know what, I'll do it. Okay. Last time I didn't have the ability or the chance. This time I got it. You know, I'm gonna. You see how it all, you know, bad. You know, so that's my best translation.
Bad. Things happen. Tapi juga cedu kene lenda palo aja dah tap cegar es ko, cuma tu caya yamar es. Dosa pakai yang mus pak lemalo de sebagai nyamin cendera juga yamar es.
So what Geshe-la wants to say is, you know, that if we get mad with someone spontaneously, but we somehow restrain our mouth or whatever, don't say anything, that does not mean really we have practiced good patience or tolerance here. Okay. Because if the anger keeps on getting in and the hostility arises, you know, we might wait for the next chance to do it. Okay? So your second part of the question is very important. How can we look back and deal with it? You know, do the purification and, you know, do the resolution, all that kind of stuff, so that we don't keep on, you know, holding the bad feeling.
Okay.
So if we could somehow, you know, bring the patience into the moment at that time, right, then I think it will never let us to develop the, you know, grudge feeling or the hostility later on, you know, because it really helps us to deal with the situation. Right. Okay, one more question. I know that the hand went that side, but I don't mind. One more question. All right, that's good then.
How do you do practice patience? I guess you just have to, because you could do it when you're feeling fine, but sometimes someone keeps doing it over and over,
right?
And then it just you can't really say the same thing to them before, so mm-hmm. I guess you just have to picture something else to say nice thing to them.
Okay.
But, because usually when that keeps happening to me, they keep asking me the same question at work, and I tell them the answer.
Okay.
They ask me again, I'll tell them in a different way. But ask me again, I'll tell them again, but then try to, you know, keep explaining to them until they get it.
But it annoys you, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I kind of get angry after they do it repeatedly, and I'm like, oh, and then they get mad at me saying that I'm not giving good customer service.
Right.
So.
Okay, very good. I think very practical. Okay, the next question was asked is about, let's say, you know, if the situation keeps on, somebody, you know, this is a situation where at a workplace, and the person who asked the question said that somebody asked the person about whatever it is, then you give the answer. Then the person comes, again, repeat the question another time, whatever. It really annoys you because they keep on asking you the same thing, and you keep on giving answer, you know, in whatever ways you could. And then you get mad, and you get annoyed. So how do you deal with that situation, right? Is that a question?
Yeah, I guess I just give it to my supervisor. I'll just transfer it to my supervisor, but I mean, I guess...
I think that was a not bad idea, yeah. Let the supervisor, let the supervisor deal with, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay, this is the game. Mona lega chasa pena mi kasi diyung kutuwa. Ta mona lega chasa liya kata leche kari imi chiki kese chik tiwa shi dele lenja brawa. Yang di tiba di yang jo ajo lah yang jo lah ajo jauh jauh ni, leh kau jauh sini lah, yang apa jauh lah, long lah. Ah long lah, oh dah kena leceh ya boleh mesti sul, sila bing sul lah. An jadi di dek ni ada cedek, ada kongru sul lah, di ni ada di dek jeli ya, ada tablam tanda kalau ada sul juga.
Ada tu zoh ko, tu tang ni da leh kau ni ke tercium tu, ko do macam tu ko tu tang ni ke kau ke dia tu. Gulungda, kumiji jisung tu yaris. Jisung zaman dulu maafan, no, kau keling ke mara kat sini, terus tangga kaya ras, kau tegur tu yaris. An tu zaman mana china ke, jek tahu tu zaman, tadi langsir ni ke kita, jek tidur kita an tu zaman, jek kacang bo. An tahu baru tu tenggi siapa ni, siang ke ni, dewa seni tu ber zacang bo, rangi ke dewa tu ya ni siang dah, ni boleh an jek dewa, ni ba.
然后这些东西先他们那些集中人吧，反正出来人先看到，看到地图，结果人不要，都是垃圾，都是真的，都是我们要的嘛，都是这个，先给先给他们这个。今天没在地，不然了，今天下午提前就有人来，感觉今天天气没得，就让他让我们搞的，那天就是怕是可多了，还能那天还是热的，因为把卡上的，等这个团呢，这些啊，都是这。
So the what I said earlier was like, you know, we put the responsibility on ourselves as a practitioner. You know, whatever this other person is doing, we just think that, you know, I should not get mad or react to this person negatively, you know, because this person is under the influence of, you know, XYZ, whatever the case may be, that everybody else is kind to me, so I should be grateful to them. So we kind of put the responsibility on ourselves how to deal with the situation. Okay. But in a situation like the one you just brought it up, right? And one of the things, you know, we could do is, you know, the reason why maybe the person keep on asking the same question to you, repeating, is whatever the answer you are giving is really not answering the answer that he or she wanted. Okay. So there could be a hidden agenda or the intention behind. So you're really not answering that, right? And so the person keeps on repeating to you. So maybe one of the things is you could ask, so you know what, I have tried, I have given you, I remember you asked me this, you know, so many times, I gave all these answers, it's not really working, so what is it, you know? What are you really asking me exactly, you know? And so maybe the communication part, right, would help, you know, clarify if there's any misunderstanding or whatever hidden agenda, you know, whatever the case is. So I think that clear communication might be helpful.
我那个活的当过人心苦了，大概呢，这个在国内俺们这长生的，就是那个。But
if after all that try and still the person is doing it, I think you just we have to develop what we call the thick ears. You have a hard of a hearing problem. That's it. We don't listen anymore, right? That person, whatever it is. Huh? Yeah, so that's it. See, we use the heart of the hearing as a strategy. Yeah. So I can't hear you. All right, let's do the Kishla's quick written prayer. In English and Vietnamese.
O infinite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, you are the embodiment of uncontaminated and immutable great bliss. Kindly pour on us now your blessings, rains of nectar from the great clouds, of your pervasive, pure, and bright wisdom and compassion to eliminate our distress. We pray to you, an incomparable great hero, who has perfectly realized within his mind the threefold ethics, a pure essence of the extensive system of Tathagata's teaching. He who has raised a parasol of Dharma in hundreds of directions. Your body is a sun of all wonderful qualities, but all of a sudden it set into solitary peace. You have committed before infinite Buddhas to work for Dharma and sentient beings. You could not have given up your commitment. However, your presence depends on the fortunes of disciples, for the power of dependent arising is inconceivable. Please reincarnate soon as a new light of Dharma, out of your compassion that never abandons us. Please return soon as a supreme spiritual guide, a treasure house of the immense teaching of Buddha, a voice that eloquently elucidates the teaching that suits individuals' dispositions and capacities. Please return soon as a great Dharma king, who will be known in all directions for smashing into pieces a mountain of misguided teachings and views through the power of your thunderbolt lightning of three reasonings. Please return soon, just like your previous self, an expert in the five major sciences of Buddhism, whose eloquent words and articulation of the teaching captivate the hearts of all the scholars and activate deep appreciation in pure, enthusiastic mind. Please return soon as a spiritual guide, endowed with complete knowledge, kindness, and dedication, in regard to the perfect view, meditation, and conduct, one who facilitates the opening of the blossomed lotus, that is the golden teaching of Tsongkhapa, by the power of the three infallible jewels, by the power of dependent rising of unchanging emptiness, by the truth of our pure thoughts and devotion, may all our aspirations be spontaneously fulfilled. Please continue.
Chủ huệ đi tịnh khổ tạm người, tại đất diệt thống khổ tức thời, niệm danh ngài bậc đại hùng vô sanh, đã hoàn toàn chứng pháp tánh nơi tâm, ba tạng giới luật của tùy viên thân, của đại thừa Như Lai truyền giáo, ngài nâng cao lọc vòng pháp bảo, trăm hướng phương lan tỏa muôn phương, có tên ngài trói lòa phẩm hạnh, sau bỗng nhiên nhập cảnh biết chi, ngài từ giúp Phật thể nghi, hứa luôn hoàn pháp làm gì độ sanh, nên ngài hẳn không đành bỏ nguyện, tùy phước đệ tử mà ngài hiện thế, lý thiên nhiên chẳng thể như bàn, xin mau hóa sanh thành ánh đạo vàng, từ bi mãi chẳng bỏ đàn vơ vơ, xin mau trở lại là đại đạo sư, như kho tàng chứa kinh hư vô lường, rồi tuyên giảng soi đường pháp bảo, kế căn cơ thiện xảo độ sanh, xin mau trở lại là đại pháp phương, lừng danh kinh cổ mười phương tám lần, phát tam núi mị pháp lòng tà kiến, tam lần lật xét nghiến sống pha, xin mau trở lại như thân đời trước, đắc ngũ minh học thức uy thâm, viện tài vô ngại lý giải pháp âm, học giả hậu phục hàng tâm, thiện giả cảm nhận hồng ân nước lòng, xin mau trở lại là bậc đạo sư, thiên thư thông thái mẫn từ tận tâm, chánh kiến định mạng chuyên cần, lung sen hé nhụy hương lên pháp đàn, của tâm khắc ba ý ngọc lời vàng, do thành lực tam bảo liên ứng, do thành lực duyên khởi tương ương, với tánh không bất nhị bất trùng, do tâm lực trí thành cùng kính ngưỡng, xin cho sở nguyện chúng đệ tử được đức thời viên mãn.
Give one day. Lord,
Okay, Anila has some announcements, but on behalf of Geshe Nubu and myself, we want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and would-be fathers, or have-been fathers. Okay.
Thank you. There'll be a meeting next week, Saturday, with two sessions with Jean and Francis in San Pedro. It's kind of an introduction to the topic on emptiness. So if anybody's interested, please come and see me. And also, we'll be having the Observing Tekchen Sojong next week, Sunday, starting at 5:30 in the morning. It's the 8 Mahayana precepts. So that'll be next Sunday. So you'll eat just one meal that day, vegetarian. So we'll observe it starting at 5:30. But you can come at any time up because we'll be doing meditation and discussion until class time at 10:30. Thank you.
Okay, Annie, nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, thanks for giving me the break, Annie. All right, enjoy your lunch.